Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Beyond the Front Lines. This is one of your co-hosts, Jay Johnson. I would assume if you've been with us for any length of time, you can tell the difference between my voice and my partner in crime's voice, Miss Donna Hoffmeyer. Donna, what's happening? It's good to be back in this space and to have people tuning in with us. What's going on with you?
The whole tell the difference between voices, you know why that is. It's not because yours is deeper and mine's higher. It's because yours is like robust and polished. Oh. That's like the same joke I make every time because I'm getting more comfortable, but the reality is when I listen to the two of us, I'm all like, oh, who's from the trailer park and who's from the city?
That's not true at all. That's not true at all. I would say you're more refined in life. I grew up and was educated in Oklahoma, for goodness sakes. Veterans listening from Oklahoma, look, it's self-deprecating. Don't take that personal. It's meant to be lighthearted.
I'm a northern New Hampshire gal, and we got more moose than people. So there, you can compare it on different levels. There you go. So
did I tell you, Don, I went on a hike? Gosh, it's been back in the fall now, I guess. But in Colorado, when walked right up on, we, Sherry and I and her sister and her husband, walked right up on a bull moose. And
I saw the picture she put up.
Yeah, beautiful. And then just a little further up the trail was mama moose with a calf, right? So that's when you have to be careful. But what an amazing experience.
I was wondering what y'all were doing. The pictures were coming up. I looked over at Brian. I'm like, they off the rocker. Oh, I have been charged by a moose inadvertently. Yeah. Springtime, mom had her baby. She was on the edge of the forest, couldn't see her. My buddy and I were little, like we're 12, 13, whatever. We're sliding in this, we call it the sugar bowl, like this thing that went down. And all of a sudden I heard this rutting noise, this blowing out and the hoof. And we didn't even look back because we're country kids. We know we're gone. Like I darted across the street and we turn around, we look up. And out comes the baby moose and the mommy right behind it. I'm like, you guys are like, we call the city people Flatlanders.
Yeah.
And we kind of tease them a little bit because they will come up in our neck of the woods and they're looking for that photo op. And they're like, oh, and they think the moose is all docile or the deer or whatever. And they try to go pat it.
These are the people that provide entertainment for me on YouTube and TikTok or TikTok. You know, some other medium, because someone captures it on film and you're like, what were they thinking, right?
Oh, my Lord. Yes.
Smack it on its backside. Stupid.
For the audience that does not live in the country, do not go pat a moose. They're not docile animals. They will mess your world up. Yes.
Yeah. It made me think of that old Hooters tagline. The restaurant that said delightfully tacky yet unrefined or something like that, right? So I have a level of refinement. I know when to be polished in this space and in other things. Other people look at my life and go, what were you thinking, Jay? So I don't know. Still trying to figure this thing out.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, you know, speaking of figuring things out, I'm going to roll us over to what we're going to talk about.
Let's do it. I'm excited for our guest today. Yeah, this is going to be a good combo.
Yes, because you had said today, you're like, hey, I don't think I'll be able to make it. And I was like, you really need to make this one. I actually changed the time to have, because this is something that's been, well, it's something that you and I both have beefs with, right? So We're bringing
not confrontationally with each other, something that both of us doesn't sit well with our spirits, and we find ourselves talking about it.
Yes, we get frustrated over this stuff. So I mean, we always joke, all these topics that we bring up, we really do have these conversations. Like Jay and I do talk about this stuff. That's how the podcasts often come up.
Yeah.
Because we're like, dang it. So
this is what makes for good episodes for our listeners. Hopefully,
it does. So backstory. You were not on the interview, but I know you know First Coast Heroes Outreach, which is a nonprofit that used to be in Florida. They moved to Texas. I run into them, I meet them. you know, we become friends. Teddy, the general, the founder, is comes on the podcast. That was one that you weren't able to be on. And I know Caitlin, and anyways, we all talk. Somewhere in there, there's some post that comes up and Caitlin goes, "Oh, Bruce, you need to meet Donna." So I'm like, uh-oh, like that. And so I get introduced to Bruce Thompson, who's with us today. Hey. And Bruce is like, okay. And so we just start talking. And I said, well, let's meet. You know, let's just have conversation. And our conversation led to the topic of boards. And I'm not sure
like who was boards of directors.
Boards of directors, correct, right? And I'm not sure who was getting more heated, him or I, but I quickly realized we had a commonality here. So I said, you know, Bruce, I think you should come on the podcast and talk about this. Sure. And the good part is Bruce is similar to us. He's a Marine. He's not Air Force. I said similar. He's a brother from another service.
Yeah.
And so 24-year Marine. He had a rough transition, much like a lot of us did, went through the loss of identity. He lost himself as a military service member, as a Marine, and I was medically discharged, right? And so he didn't get to finish the career he wanted, and he was an athlete. So he kind of lost two sides of himself, right? And he's like, oh, now what, you know?
Yeah.
And so he has a very good Marine wife who kicked him in the back end and said, yeah, not today, buddy. So get ass in gear and let's go. Right. So through a turn of events, they make their, he does a couple of corporate jobs, not working. Didn't work out for him. He says, yep, this isn't what I want. They end up moving to Jacksonville, Florida. They're there for now 7 years. And I'm going to let Bruce tell the story of how, where he went and how he ended up in nonprofits and how we end up having conversation about board doctors, which we're going to talk about today. So hi, Bruce.
Hello. How are we doing?
Good. Was that a good summary? Good to have you.
So it was, but I'll clarify a couple quick points. Yes. I did not medically retire. I retired on regular retirement. It was just sped up by the fact that the injuries kept me from being able to finish that last 6 years of service. So
that then this is a Marine medical retirement. Like, oh, I'm sorry. You're not. Bye-bye. Right.
So, yeah, not a formal medical retirement, but just the reality of your body only has so many bumps, bruises it can take before you got to say, no, I can't do those basic Marine things like stand,
up, right?
Run.
It all adds up.
But yeah, so there I was, you know, coming up, retiring. I was the active duty Marine. And, you know, those of y'all who know us Marines, you know, that's like a huge part of who we are. Mentality in the heart, and we live and breathe it. And then I was also an athlete. It's what I really know myself from, like 8, 9 years old. You know, I was always in sports, and there I was transitioning because, you know, too many surgeries and the body was beat up, and I wasn't either anymore. I wasn't an active duty Marine. I wasn't the athlete. And you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And so, of course, you know, I set myself up very well. I had a solid trade, hard skills. I got my degrees while I was in. So I was able to find employment opportunities. You know, I'm that person was hanging up on headhunters, you know, because I was, I don't want that. And finally you answer the call and you're like, okay, I took the job. Easy job, no purpose or passion. Moved on. Kind of ran into that same thing again. It took me almost a year to figure out who I was, where I belonged, and to find it. And as you said, you know, it was ugly. Like, you know, depression, anxiety, you know, me and the dog taking naps on the couch, disconnecting from the world was a reality. And I got that amazing Marine Corps spouse who kicked me in the rear side and said, buddy, we ain't doing this. I don't care what you do, but get up and go figure it out. I found myself in the military veteran transition space, teaching the TAP program, working with nonprofits. And then, you know, out of the blue, we came home. You know, she came home one day and said, hey, you know, lease is up in 6 months. What are we doing? We're in San Diego. I'm like, we're not re-signing it. Didn't know that was a life choice. I would just making one of those, you know, like tough guy decisions and like, ha ha. Well, 10 minutes later, I printed out maps in the U.S. She had one in one room. I had one in the other. We came back together. We had six cities. They matched. We picked Jacksonville, Florida off the map. We'd never been there a day in our lives. We didn't know a single soul. We just did the military thing and said, we're going to go and make it work. I show up that night. You know, we had a short-term apartment. Across the courtyard was a Army veteran. His spouse is our realtor who helped us find our home. Me and him that night sat there and started talking about, war stories, military, Army versus Marine, blah, 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 the local community. He said, hey, what are you doing on Saturday? And mind you, it's like a Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm like driving around lost, trying to figure out what Jacksonville is. He said, nah, suit up. I'm going to take you all to this event. I said, cool. I went to the event. It's the largest reoccurring gathering of military veterans and their families in the state of Florida. Talked me in there. I'm at the who's who in the zoo. We talked to the resources. We listened to the speaker program, like eyes bugged out wide open. Like, yes, this is the community that I was looking for. All these different nonprofits, all these different organizations that are all about taking care of the military and veteran community. So fast forward 3 months, I go to the next quarterly event. I go find Marines founded this, of course, because, that's what Marines do. And I basically said, I want in. And it was kind of like beat up. I'm going to say borderline stalked him until he let me in. Next thing you know, I'm at the third event, which is 6 months in. And we basically do a left seat, right seat. And I take over, as the executive director for this nonprofit movement. I'm on the board of the nonprofit while I'm running the movement. I did 2 years, came, shut it down. I joined another nonprofit, helped build a board. COVID came out, left it, started another nonprofit. There's a trend here. I found my niches. I enjoy it. It's a passion. But as we're going to jump into, man, board of directors. It is such a wonderful, ugly thing.
Yeah, there's a dichotomy there, Bruce. Look, before we jump in on the board topic, I just got to say this, Bruce. As two men in this space together listening to, others listening to this that are going to be men, I applaud you for sharing, being transparent and sharing. Man, when I got out of the Marine Corps, my identity was attached to that. Now I find myself lost and PTSD and depression and all these things. And because we don't talk about it oftentimes.
We have to, though. But we have to.
That was why I just wanted to call that out for everybody and celebrate you, Bruce, commend you. I do the same thing, but a lot of men, right, still a little bit old school where we hide those things and act like we're tough and just these things don't happen to us. And so thank you for bringing it into the light and saying, man, and for the tough love is love, right? For the tough love your bride showed you and saying, okay. So anyways, I know we're here to talk about boards. I'm excited about that, but I couldn't miss, the opportunity to say thanks for bringing that out.
That's a good point too, because that is something on many levels. So yeah. Just the fall apart when I was a nurse in the military, I saw the far end of things when we're dealing with MSTs. They're not all women. And for the audience, it's military sexual trauma. It's not all women. So the fact that you can say like, I didn't have my shit all together and I really fell apart.
Yeah.
But here you are thriving, right? And I think that's what a lot of times Jay and I want people to see. And I say all the time when you hear like, I'm afraid I'm going to crash and burn. I'm like, well, I hope you crash and burn because that's what gets that first layer off. It kind of nuts you in the right direction. And then you get to rise like the phoenix, right? So
yeah, it's definitely one of those ones. We learn more from failure than success. And, I'm out there with different nonprofits and different organizations where we've got to focus. We lose too many because, you know, we've got the macho mentality. We talk about the buddy checks. We talk about check on your strong friends. Check on your friend that's always smiling and joking because they're masking so much more.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we could go for 5 hours talking about the mental health side.
No,
yeah,
let's not get down that road. But we're not going to.
Let's hop over and talk about the frustration of board of directors.
Let's get into that. Who wants to start? I'll just sit back and.
Well, I'll say this. So here's why we feel like this is important, right? So Bruce has been on boards, maybe, and still is, I assume. Donna, you're still active in that space. Me too. Mm-hmm. I think 5 or 6 different boards I've been on, and what an honor, personally, right? I think for somebody to see something in us,
yes,
to invite us to the table to play a crucial part. I think now that I've been in this space for 8 years, probably, there's been a maturation. I see healthy things in boards, and I see a lot of unhealthy aspects. And Bruce, you've alluded, you know, to a little bit of that. I think there's 2 different types of boards, and I'll see what you think about this. I think there are working boards and governance boards, and I think it's really important to understand what you're being invited to the table to. A governance board might be a group of individuals that truly just come together to provide some kind of fiduciary oversight to something, but maybe their expectation is they're not rolling up the sleeves, getting involved in any way, shape, or form. But a working board, I think, understands coming in that there's expectations, and you're going to be asked to help the organization be successful, and you need to know what that looks like. Because, Bruce, and I'm really going to try to turn to you to get your perspective on this, is I think a lot of people join boards for the wrong reasons. They join because they see it as a resume bullet, and it postures them in some way. And I just think that's not the reason to join. What say you, Bruce?
So you talk about, you know, governance and working. I kind of put it as the oversight and working, but governance and oversight, very, very similar. But you're spot on. There's so many people who are like, I'm looking to be on a board. And you're like, well,
why?
What causes? What do you want to be on a board? Are you looking to be, you know, a treasurer or a secretary? You know, and people are like, I just want to be on a board. I'm like, okay, you shouldn't be on a board then. If you can't answer the questions of why that board organization, you know, answers your passions and purpose, you don't belong on the board. And again, dealing with a lot of different nonprofit organizations where we created them from scratch. So we had to develop a board, and there was the, hey, if you're going to be in this board, this isn't a status board. This is a, we're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to get dirty. And there's expectations. And there's nothing worse than someone saying, I want to be on a board, and realizing that they just wanted, you know, a bullet, LinkedIn resume, social, right, whatever you want to call it. And then when you come out there and say, hey, I'm relying on you to do your piece, because we're building structured out, we're building this from scratch, we're trying to make something great, and it's not there. And what it ends up doing, it kills momentum, it hurts relationships. And I've seen lifelong friendships go down the hill quickly because, you know, people just gave up on each other. And, you know, I expected, you know, a bare minimum, and you couldn't give me that much. I've seen founders who, hey, to make my organization seem so much bigger and better, I want to have a board, and I want to have these big names on it. And so they call these big names in, and then it's like, okay, they're there, but what are they doing? And then you have, you know, a guidance or an oversight who are giving you feedback and guidance and saying, hey, you know, you can't do X because you're crossing, you know, these legal items. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. Like, whoa, are you not listening to the people that you brought on board to help you build and shape? And so it's funny, you know, you have board members that don't live up to expectations. You have founders that don't understand what a board actually is. And then, of course, if it all works, those are those organizations you see that pop up and are like doing, oh my goodness, amazing things. And it's it's there, it's possible, it does work. But this is that whole research, understanding, relationships, and really before you get into something, understanding what it is you're about to get into.
So I'm listening and I'm kind of smirking here because there's like all these thoughts going in my head. So one of the things you guys both have alluded to is the governing versus the working. And I relate it as almost the size of the nonprofits, right? So the smaller they are, the more gritty you got to be, right? Like you've got to roll your sleeves up when you're doing these grassroots starting, just forming. And once they get moving, and depending on the caliber of the executive director, then the board should probably be more just kind of governing, advising, you know, like it can move to that, but it takes a long time to get from there to there. And the other thing that I see happen, that board members, they blow my mind because I have been on boards with very well-connected people, very well-connected people, and watch them not leverage their network. I'm all like, well, why are you here if you can't give me your time in like literally being at the whatever? Can you leverage your network? I have literally put it out to people before asking, like, do you talk with other equals, you know, try to gently, because I'm not there to insult anybody's intelligence. I mean, these are very intelligent people and they didn't get to where they were randomly. But it's almost like it doesn't occur to them that the reason they're sitting there is not for their good looks. It is to leverage a network, roll up your sleeves, and use your skill set to help advise them. Have we thought of this or have we thought of that? Or looking at it from different angles. And it blows my mind. I have sat on a couple of boards, and I talk to many boards because I do help a lot of nonprofits, and I hear the same thing over and over. There's one, and I looked at their board, and they're all suitors. Every single one in this picture is with the suit, the tie, and the corporate, and very intimidating looking, like, damn, they got it going on, right? And the executive director's like, my board is defunct. They don't do anything. And when I told him they need to step up, he's like, I'm like a one-man band, like the monkey with the cymbals and the drums. And when I'm like, hey, I need more, the comment that came back to the executive director was, oh, well, if you need us working more, then you need to pay us. And I was like, I would have removed them from the board immediately. That would have been the end of that.
Yeah. And as you talk about that, you know, and we can talk about the different types of boards, but usually when it's a smaller startup, you know, one of the things that come in is the fundraising piece.
Oh, you know, yeah.
The board members coming on board with some expectations to reach out to their network and help raise some funds, whether that is direct donation, whether that is hosting events to do that, however it is, but you have some of that. And there's individuals who are like, your whole job is like sales, like getting people to invest, you know, and then you look at the board and you're like, you brought in $0 in a quarter. You're like, come on now. Like, you could have called one friend. One friend could have gave me $100, you know. And when you're a small startup, $100 is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those little things. So it's funny that you kind of talk about board members having influence, which is why they've been invited to the board, but then not leveraging their network or leveraging that influence to actually grow the organization and, you know, make meaningful movements and purposes with it.
Yeah. So Bruce and Don, I love, you know, organically where this is going. And this is education for our listeners. Mm-hmm. We want you to, I think there is a great opportunity to serve in your community, by looking for opportunities out there, nonprofits that are doing work that, you know, you have a heart for, that you have passion for. And it's tough to get good board members. So what we're trying to do is educate you and say, hey, listen, here's the deal. It's not just to occupy a seat. There is something to do. So on this front, you know, Bruce and Donna, I think what I have found, I do a lot of strategic planning even for boards, Bruce. And the thing I see happen more often than not is they play small. And some of that traces back to expectation management from the very beginning, right? Who gets invited to boards? I can tell you, I a lot of times see buddies invited to boards. I understand inviting somebody who has been a big contributor, particularly financially. And so maybe your way of rewarding them is to say, we'd like to invite a member of your company, corporation, team, organization, whatever, to have a seat on our board. That's great. But I think it's important to manage the expectations on the front end. And it often doesn't happen. It doesn't say in a letter that maybe you're signing, here's what we're asking of you. Sometimes it could be we're asking you as the board member to write a check every year, right, to the organization. I've seen some with really small amounts, like, man, if you write a check for $50 every year to the board, we're happy. Others, I've seen them put a responsibility on their the board members to say $5,000 to $10,000 you're expected to bring to the organization as part of you sitting on this board. So expectation management's really important. I'll come back to that in a minute, where I had an outing with a board I served in because I asked for expectations to be codified so that future board members knew exactly what was expected. But I'm going to pause there and just turn back to you two to see if you have any commentary on what I just shared.
And I'll throw out there, it's expectations management. And as we're talking about, you know, nonprofits starting, you know, to create a board.
Yeah.
One of the failures that, you know, the founder of the nonprofit and the leadership of that nonprofit, when they're like, yeah, we're ready to move on to a board, they don't put anything down on paper as to the purpose of the board.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be one of those, you know, as my you know, chairman, this is what expectations are, and you know, give me a job description. You know, we have to have something other than just saying, here's a title. Otherwise, you know, we can all get our business cards, our name tags, and we can put whatever we want to on them. But there has to be, this is the expectations for the chairman. This is the expectations for the treasurer. This is the expectations for the secretary, because those three are required to have a legitimate board, nonprofit. So at a minimum, you have to have those. And then as you grow, okay, what are those other board members? And so when we start something without, you know, that forethought of what will this become, what will this be, what is the ask of these individuals that we're going to be bringing on to help us shape and grow this organization, we set ourselves up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen board members who came in and they said, okay, is there a description? Is there, you know, some kind of, you know, contract that explains this? And people are like, what are you talking about? And you're like, you know, that's a red flag right there. If you're asking for something very simple as what do you expect from me as a board member and you can't get it, you probably need to either completely step out of that because they're not ready, or you take that as, okay, part of the thing I'm going to do when I join your board is I am going to create this for you because we have to have these. And I've had companies, you know, come back in and said, this is our working board and here's our advisory board. And so these members aren't taking a formal role, but they're bouncing back ideas and, you know, they're mentors. They're, hey, we've been here, we've done it, take our lessons learned. So I think, you know, figuring out who has the power, and a lot of people who are the founders of an organization, like, hey, this is my idea and I want to run with it, they fail to realize that when you create a board, the board actually holds the power over the organization. you know, and you answer to the board. And people are like, what? Like, yeah. No, I don't. So yeah, that's another train of thought that we haven't hit yet.
Yeah, one quick thing, Donna, before your voice comes in and shares on this. Bruce, that's such a worthwhile point, right? But I always try to remind the boards that I serve on, I'm presently serving on one now, we're not the CEO. The CEO is charged with the execution of the daily mission. But I 100% agree. The board is a critical part for casting vision, strategically stating, you know, these are things we want to accomplish, and then the CEO and team ought to go do it. And if there's any pushback, if there's any disagreement, those things can be hashed out. I do find it funny how at times, like I've worked with an organization where the CEO said, well, I'm going to recruit and begin grooming my replacement. Wait a minute. I'm pretty sure the board ultimately holds responsibility for making sure they find the right person to do the work next, right? So a little bit of that is what you're, I think, alluding to, Bruce, if not absolutely alluding to, and I do think that's important for sure.
Yeah. And that goes to roles, responsibilities, and understanding not only from the board, but from the founder and the, you know, leadership team that's actually doing the day-to-day work of what is the role, what is the purpose. And every organization has a different, you know, structure built into it. So those are things that you have to understand and decide on what structure is right for you before going in there. So, you know, with that, Donna, hop in here. What do you think?
Well, you said that last part and I was just smiling. If you don't have an interest in what the nonprofit's doing, do not jump on the board.
Sure.
Like,
amen.
I mean, really, it there, trust me, there's like 45,000 plus nonprofits just for veterans. You can find one that suits your needs. And in the world of remote, you don't even have to be in the same state. So, I mean, find what interests you, because you are, one, going to want to leverage your network to say, look at this. Number two, you're probably going to have a lot more insight to it and a lot more creative thinking to that. And three, you're going to be engaged because it's of interest to you. So be specific and don't get enamored. I'll tell you, I have a rule, and the rule is when the compliments start coming, I'm like, oh, here it comes. Here comes the non-vol. Oh, it was the military. Here comes the non-vol. When the compliments start coming, do not let your ego get caught up in the compliments. Don't look at this objectively. Is this a good match? Do I have a skill set that I can offer? You know, granted, you're not going to have all the answers. And when you step in, you're stepping in with a whole bunch of people that you don't know, even through interviewing. I mean, I interviewed for my boards and, I mean, I knew them by name, but I didn't know them. And then you learn personalities, and that's just all about emotional intelligence, learn to work with people. But before that, you can figure out if this is going to be a fit for you. Don't be afraid of that. And the other half of it, understand when you stop aligning with the direction that a board is going in or a nonprofit is going in. It's going to happen. The board will change a direction, or the executive director, whoever, that nonprofit might shift in a direction that doesn't align with you for whatever reason. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's bad. It just means, A, do you want to change your alignment? Do you want to go with that? Or B, do you want to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to let somebody else that's better aligned with this to step in, and I'm going to step back. That's not wrong. Nobody should be hated for that. I think that's a smart person to do that. So I think there's a lot of thought that has to go in before you go jump on a board, instead of like, yeah, I want to be on a board. I think it'll be a great experience. Oh, it'll be an experience. Don't worry about that. Like, really, put your ego aside and determine that you want to help. And I'll tell you, I was on a board, compliments of Jay Johnson, and I love him for it. I say that tongue in cheek, but the board had never done a large event, right? This was, they were doing a big event. Jay and I saw their nervous level of it. And long story short, we did execute it. And we saw how much of a struggle it was. And this, these are seasoned board members. They had been on these boards for a long time, but their skill set did not lend towards how to set up an event. So that's another thing people need to consider. If half your board has no idea and you need to do event planning and you need to do marketing and you're not good at that and you're going to go hide out, don't jump on a board. Don't jump on a small board. Definitely don't jump on a small board, because marketing and fundraising is paramount in a small board. Maybe in a big one, really big one where you can hide, where there's multiple boards in it, but not a small board. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah. And so a couple of those things, and I love those. One of the points that we talk about, and I've been involved with a lot of brand new startup nonprofits, you know, hey, someone's got an idea, we get a group of us together, we say, yes, this is going to work, let's go with it. And we all know when you start, this was the idea. And then as you start implementing it, you start, you know, massaging it and having those conversations, and you start putting things into action. Okay, well, you know, what we thought was going to be the mission, the purpose, the drive, well, we're still in the vicinity, but it actually starts going to something a little bit different. And that's one of those ones where you have, you know, I had it. I actually love the purpose, and I thought we were doing something great. But the founder was kind of like, hey, you know, we started out to do this. We natural kind of just flow took us in this other direction. And I was cool with that new direction, and it was working, and we were going for it. And it was like, well, you know, I want to go back to what we really established. And I was like, okay, you have something that's working. We have something that's growing. We have something that people are drawn to. Why would you move away from what people want and what's working? And it was like, we can still do both, but where are we going to, you know, hang our hat, and what's going to be that secondary? And it was like, no, absolutely not. You know, this was the vision. This was the drive. We're going to go back to what, you know, I said from the start. Cool. I left. And man, people get their feelings hurt when you say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. It's time for me to move on.
Yeah.
And we all have to do that, whether it's a job, whether it's a volunteer event, whether it's on a board. We all have a natural ending point, and we have to, you know, one, develop a professional exit strategy. You know, just don't, hey, I'm taking my ball and going home because you didn't do what I want to do. No. But we have to have that professional exit point, but a realization of over time, things change for the organization, for ourselves, life happens. And you might want to be out there and say, I can give you 40 hours a week doing this job. And something might come up, and it comes, I can give you 5 to 10. Well, if you were running things, 5 to 10 is not going to work. Yep. You've got to understand that ego, put it on the shelf, take the backpack off, hand a baton over, whatever you want to call it. But you got to be ready to do that. So, yeah, Jay.
I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, a lot of boards. Well, let's talk about some skills they need. I think most boards could benefit from having an attorney, right?
Yes.
For obvious reasons on staff. And then you can come up with some others that you think would be.
Grant writer.
Yeah, for sure. A grant writer would be.
Everybody needs one.
But here's what's happened. We almost give some excuses, right? I don't mean to single out any attorney friends if you're listening to this, but you know, we can look at them and go, oh, but they're really busy people. Excuse me. We're all busy people.
Exactly.
Right? And we're donating our time, which takes us back to these expectations management. So I was on a board where it was so loosey-goosey. I went to the CEO of the company into the board chair and said, would you mind if I codify and draw up minimum expectations on what this will look like? So, you know, some of it included things like you're going to attend 75% of all board meetings. If we're looking at a calendar year, 12 months, 75% looks like 9 meetings, right? You can miss 3 because things are going to come up, but you need to be there because you have to have quorum, right? You've got to have enough voices in the room to vote and indicate board agreement or have meaningful discussion if there's any disagreement. I'm sitting with these two. I've drawn these things up. The board chair says, I think these are fine, Jay. We'll put these up for a vote at the next board meeting. I believe it'll probably be adopted, but I want you to know I'll never reinforce it. That's what the board chair said to me.
Yeah.
And I said to him, why? And he said, because to enforce these things means most of them will not do business with me anymore. He's talking about personally now. They won't do business with me anymore. And I looked at him and I said, and this is exactly why I won't do business with you now. That's true. That's real.
Yeah.
I've resigned from boards, Bruce, as you were indicating, knowing when professionally there's a time, right? Most boards for our listeners have commitments. Many of them are 3-year commitments at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity to extend maybe for another 3, it's based on what's written into their
bylaws.
Yeah, their bylaws, their governance. But the one thing I've done anytime I've gotten to a place where I just feel like we're not in congruence or I've given what I can give and now can't actively participate like I believe they deserve. In my letters of resignation, I've always outlined, I hope you found the time that I was with you meaningful and of value. Here are the things that I believe I contributed to that helped the organization in a positive way. 9-10 things, bang, 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 right? So I'm not leaving poking anybody in the eye. I'm not leaving accusing them of being disorganized or, lacking in some way. I'm just saying, here's what I brought into the table. Thank you for the opportunity. But I want to work with people who are hungry. I want to work with people who are all in, even if that looks a little different between each one of us, what we're contributing, but I don't want to play small. So that's been a big deal for me. And I will just say over the last 8-9 years when I've had these opportunities, it's been a maturation process. Like when Donna offered or started to have conversation with me about joining a board she was on, I kind of slow rolled a little bit and said, Donna, I don't know that I'm there yet, right? I don't know that I have the time. I don't know that I have clarity. There's a few things that I still feel uncertain about. I think that's what we owe it to the people who are considering this, right? But we ought to do our diligence to make sure that there is alignment and congruence. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, and those are great points. One, being professional above everything else speaks to yourself. When you get to the point where you realize that things aren't going down the right path, that you know, and it could be a good path for the organization, but it's no longer a good path for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just like, well, this sucks, and you know, like I said, take your ball, go home. No, you okay? How do I exit in a professional manner where no one's left, you know, holding this like, oh, we expected Bruce to be part of this event, that event, this, this, and this. No, you say, okay, well, I see myself leaving in the next 90 days. I'm only going to be able to do this, this, and this. I have to pull back. And you have those conversations with them. You know, maybe there's something where a conversation leads to realignment and you continue.
Right.
Maybe it's one of those, hey, we appreciate you saying 90 days, but you're good to leave now. And we try our best not to have hard feelings, because if you're involved in an organization, you meant and were in alignment with it. But
the goal is, go ahead.
You know, we always want to make sure that we're doing that in a right manner.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many. And I've had that opportunity where people said, hey, I think you'd be great for my board. And I've had the conversation with them. I looked and said, I'm not there yet. what you all see is this, this, and this. But, you know, I could bring, you know, hey, I have a brand. I have, you know, I have a good network. And I can help you by being associated, but I'm not a board member for you. What you actually need is this, this, and that. And it takes a lot of that reality of being able to look at yourself. You know, do you have the time? Do you have the resources? Do you have the passion? But more importantly, you know, as Donna talked about the compliments and the flattery, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, you know, like we're inflating our egos. And you got to be able to say, no, I'm not the right person. And maybe you say, I'm not the right person, but I know someone. Or you recommend someone else.
Yeah, that's right.
Or I can't do it now, but I would love for you to come back to me in 6 or 12 months and let's work on it then. And those are things that I think we all have to have within ourselves, because opportunities will come left and right, but you have to understand timing means everything.
That's right.
You, I was asked to be on a board and I was helping this board. It was startup. I mean, like they had this start, but they weren't sure the direction. I think I still have the piece of paper that we drew, you know, our vision on, like literally drew it, you know, out, and I copied it onto a, like, you know, digitalized the whole thing, and started there, like them building. And then eventually he was like, I would really like you on the board. And it was weird because I was like, in one sense, it kind of made sense, right? I was helping with the startup. We were having all these meetings. And I actually said, you know, let me think about this. And I declined it. They were surprised. But I said, here's my thought. It's going to look like the Donna and so-and-so show. And it's not. And I think that your board needs to get more engaged. And I don't think I'm going to help you with that. I would do better as an advisor for you. And
yes,
and I would do better talking through stuff with you. Call me anytime and we can talk through it, because I know the ground up. I mean, hell, we developed the concept together. And I've sat in on the meetings that developed, you know, the mission and the vision, and with the board. I sat with them. We did all this stuff. And I said, and don't take that the wrong way, because I love your mission. I love what you're doing. I just don't think it's a smart move right now. Scroll ahead, right? I still advise to them. And they are now working on training and getting volunteers. And so I said, oh, like, what are you doing now? And they're like, oh, we're the training, and I'm gonna have a stakeholders meeting for the training. I'm like, oh, when is it? Well, I'm not sure yet. I'm like, oh, just let me know when and where. And he stopped and was like, well, you're not one of the stakeholders. And I'm like, oh. And then I had to like recheck myself, because he was right. I didn't need to be there. That's not my role. Like I'm the person, like I'm stuck. And I had worked so close with them, and it was kind of partly my baby that was standing up, you know, and he was getting his feet. And then he, you know, like kept him on track for his vision and no, don't go over here. Think about this, whatever. And then he's got teeth. He's going, he's building. So I instead went, okay, called some of my people that I know. And I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, what are you up to? I have a board that I think is going to make, but they need some people that have some experience with fundraising, marketing, blah, blah. And I know your background, you know, and said, didn't talk to them about it, planting a seed in your head, no pressure. And they're honestly in the middle of thinking about it right now. But it was like such an interesting process. I came home and I'm like, I'm not sure if my feelings are hurt or not. It was just because I was so close to it. But they were right. They was right to do that. So it's funny.
And I'll take that as an amazing thing and its perspective. When someone is writing their book, you know, you might get the shout out, you know, as, you know, inspiration or, yeah. But you're not part of the book. You're not a chapter.
Right.
You helped, you know, them get to where they need to be.
Yeah, spark it.
But it's not yours. Right. And I find myself in this role. And I actually enjoy that role more than
me
the
too.
Formal being one, because one, I'm able to provide insights, perspectives, and help them reach that, you know, that starting point where they can get the ball rolling and things mm-hmm. start to build momentum. And I taught transition workshops. One of the guys I taught in San Diego followed me to Jacksonville. He came here and said, "Hey, is anyone doing this?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "We should do it." I said, "I'm in." And then I had to harass him a little bit to put, you know, yes into action. And then about 6 months into it, he was like, "Hey, I'm going to make it its own nonprofit. It's going to do this, do that." And I'm like, "That's great." And he was like expecting me to be like number one, number two, you know, on the team. And I'm like, "I will advise you. I will help you. I will champion. I will do whatever it is, you know, I can do to help. But I'm involved in too many things right now to do it." And as things start moving forward, and it's amazing, I think it's the 6-year anniversary is coming up this summer. And it's like, I still say we, when I talk about it, it's we. But the reality is, I'm a footnote. You know, I was a co-founder, but I never formally joined. And so we have those things where like, "Hey, I'm a part of this." And you're like, "Are you really?" And there's like, "Hey, I'm a part of this, but I never committed to put my name on the door to take responsibility, but I want to come with." And sometimes, you know, that's the ego of us of like, "I was there. I was there on day one." So I love that you brought that up. And this is where I talk about, you know, we all have to have our champions, our people that when we're getting started, we ran into a roadblock and someone helped us move the boulder and move forward.
Right.
Well, they're not part of the team. They served a purpose at that point. And we might reference back and forth with them, but we have to understand the train, you know, kept moving and we didn't get on.
Yeah.
So we can champion and cheerlead, but we have to understand.
Yeah, it's not, the reward is watching the success happen. The reward is they're standing on their feet to do this. So sorry, Jay, I know you were going to say something.
No, you're okay. I love listening to you. I agree with what you're saying. Look, some of us are really good ideators, right? We can get in a space and brainstorm, generate ideas together, and we can be the catalyst that someone else grabs a hold of something and then runs with it. And that's fine. We don't have to have credit for everything, right? There's plenty that I may be the instigator of an idea that someone germinates and brings to fruition. Man, I love celebrating them. I want to see if I could shift this just a little bit because we're deep into the conversation now. I'd love to see if I can draw it from you two. I'm going to share a couple things. Best advice you have for people that are being offered a seat on a board or considering to want to, you know, pursue a board opportunity we've already established for the right reasons. I wanted to share a couple things to our listeners to think about. First, get clarity around what you're really passionate about. I mean, there is a cause out there for almost anything and everything you can think of. And if there's not, that might be the impetus for you creating a new nonprofit. But look, veterans' causes, as we champion on this show, pet causes, elderly causes, child causes, women causes, right? Trauma causes, on and on and on, unsheltered, whatever it may be. Find out what you're really passionate about, Habitat for Humanity. And a good place to go is the United Way. Wherever you live, if you can contact a local United Way, United Ways are fantastic for having robust lists of all the different nonprofits in your area. So that's a place that you can go. The other thing I would say to you is if you're going to commit to a board, ask questions on the front end to get clarity about what you're stepping into. I used the word governance earlier, Bruce, and I love you caused me to rephrase, I think, in my mind. Some boards are advisory only and some are working boards. So find out, ask questions, find out the different roles, fundraising goals, vision, for it, and ask about the kind of training they provide. Here locally, Donna and I are in the San Antonio, Texas area.
Mm-hmm.
There is something called the San Antonio Area Foundation, and they do a great job of providing classes on a recurring basis that can help people maximize their experience serving on a board. So those just a couple bits of info that I wanted to share that might be food for thought for somebody. I turn to both of you, food for thought for somebody that might be invited or is wanting to become active in a board.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, as we talk about passion and purpose, if you're not passionate about the purpose, you have no business being a part of it. Understanding it's flattering to be on the board, but understanding the requirements, the time restrictions that you have, and understand, you know, what you can give, what you have to do. And someone might say, I want you to be the secretary. And you're like, you know, I'm not right for the secretary, but I would love to be the treasurer, or I would love to be the social media, or I'd love to be the event. You know, have conversations. Again, when someone approaches you, it doesn't need to be this or nothing. You know,
sure.
They might not, you know, a lot of times we don't even know when we're starting these nonprofits and creating the board of all the different pieces that are out there. So, you know, having those mentors, those advisors, and being able to come back and say, I'm really good at putting events together. Oh, I haven't thought about that yet. Yeah, we could do this, or I could do this, or I could do that. And where is your value added? You know, five people might be able to do the treasurer, the secretary, the chair. But what is that unique thing that you can do that is going to be value added and take them into a broader area? And I think when we do it, man, we got to think like kids. Like, what gets you excited? You know, what is it you want to be like? I want to do this. I can't wait to kick this door open and be like, check these out. And I tell you, if you don't have that, like, fire, you know, in your gut, in your chest, in your mind, you probably should back away and say thanks, but no, or thanks, but not right now. But those are those things. Don't be afraid to say, if I say no now, I'm going to miss out on an opportunity forever. No. Yeah. Opportunities will come back around. As we said, you can be involved without having your name on the door. You know, you can do all these different pieces, and when the time is right, then you join in. So don't be afraid to say no, and understand, you know, the value add that you have or don't have. So that's what I'd add.
That's good stuff. Donna.
I think it's many hands make light work. And so a lot of people are, you know, you said, you know, like, I don't have enough time, and I'm sorry, but, you know, I have this going on. I get you. Like you said, Jay, we all got something going on. We are all carving out time to do something. But if we're all carving out that time, we don't all have to carve out as much time if we're all have each other's back and we're all pitching in together. So if, you know, one person is coming together to, here's the list, and then we're putting it out there, and the other hands are taking it like, okay, I've got our parts. Well, that's great. Everybody just gave an hour versus that one person giving 6 hours, right? And so I agree with both Jay and Bruce. Put your ego aside. Yes, I know it's flattering to be asked to be on a board, and that's great, but it's not about an ego, and it's not about how cool you look on a board or how cool you look in your suit when you're posted on their Facebook page or their website. It's about what you can offer, your network that you can leverage, your critical thinking skills, your creative thinking skills, your ability to look forward and determine where the pitfalls may be and how to mitigate that. That's why you're there. And I'm going to mention one thing when you guys talk about money to the board. I tell you my philosophy. I'm not putting anything forward until I see how the board is functioning. Sorry. You can ask me. I've been asked, and I'll be like, okay, And then I just look at them. I don't say a word. And when I see the, because really, if it's not functioning and the nonprofit's not functioning well, it's a money pit then. And the $100 or $50 or $1,000, and people are like, oh, that's showing your commitment. No, showing my commitment is showing up. That's showing my commitment. I do understand the philosophy of it, but I need to see that we're working here and it's happening. And so, yeah, okay. You know, when I show up, gala happens, we'll give money, whatever it is. But don't immediately assume that and think that's your commitment level. I had somebody tell me that, like, oh, yeah, you know, I was asked to be on this board. I don't even know what to do. I just got on it. You know how that goes. You just give money and then you just sit there. And I was like, okay, we weren't there to talk about that, but so I left it alone.
I had this quote weigh on my spirit listening to you, Donna. I think it's Henry David Thoreau who said, your action speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying, right? It's either Thoreau or Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of those two. Forgive me if I misattribute, but that's the deal, right? You can tell me whatever you want to say, but I'm going to watch you to see if you're invested more than anything. Are you putting sweat equity in? To me, that's far more important than anything else.
Yep.
And I'll throw it out there as we talk about, you know, fundraising, because that's always the biggest frustration with startups, whether you're trying to start business, nonprofits. And I've had it where we had those conversations early about we need to raise X amount of funds. And I've always said, for what?
Right.
And those are right there. We talk about, you know, requirements. You know, what are you asking from your board? You don't say, let's go raise a bunch of funds just to raise a bunch of funds. And, you know, not organizations that I've been a part of, but we've seen large nonprofit organizations that it was a great idea and it just took off like a wildfire. And all of a sudden they had this, you know, surplus funds, but they didn't have anything scheduled for it.
And the IRS loves that.
and we all know if you're a nonprofit and all of a sudden you have all this money at the end of the year, people are like, well, are you really a nonprofit? And you violated X, Y, and Z. So you,
correct.
People are like, we have to spend it. And then people start saying, well, we have to spend money, but it's not in alignment with their purpose or their cause. And people who donated money was for this. And then all of a sudden they're out here, well, let's go to this, you know, event, or let's go fund this, or let's go do like some cool things, or let's go buy some, you know,
right.
You know, like, wow. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, why are people getting drug away in handcuffs? Like, there are legal requirements.
There are. It's true.
And right. A lot of people, when they join a board, might not fully understand that when you become a board member, there are responsibilities, legal responsibilities, that you are now a part of.
Yeah.
And we don't want to say it because it's the ugly part. But turn on the news every now and then, or just do a little research about, you know, nonprofit legal issues. And hence why Jay talked about everybody should have a lawyer on their board.
Yeah,
it just happened out here. There was a big nonprofit out here that bad things happened.
I left the board because we had requested information from the CEO, the executive director, you know, whatever the title was. And the individual kept punting, wasn't giving the glimpses I felt we needed. It caused concerns for me that things weren't being operated on the up and up. And it was the catalyst, the main reason for why I resigned from the board, because I wasn't going to be part of something that wasn't being operated with integrity. There's just no way.
And transparency, you know, you might hear someone say it, but can you see it?
Yeah.
And that's something when you're talking about joining a board, you know, you need, what is the communication schedule? You know, can I see the records? Can I see the financials? Can I see all these things that are going in? Because as you said, you know, you can say all the things you want to say, but do your actions reflect that?
Reflect that. Exactly.
And so transparency, not only for the team members, the board members, your donors. If it's not there, man, you got to look for red flags, and you got to understand it's time to hit the escape hatch and I'm out. Or it's got to be the, I can't even get involved. Because again, people with the best of intentions find themselves in trouble all the time because they didn't read the fine print.
Sure.
They thought it was a good idea, but they didn't know.
Hey, hold on one second. We're going to do something a little different. I know somebody has a hard and fast because he's like Superman over there. So Bruce, we can wrap this up. Jay, I'm going to let you go because I know you got to.
I do. Yeah. I apologize.
I know. It's okay.
It's a tight schedule today, but
it is.
I love this talk, and I don't want any of the listeners. Bruce, number one, I want to thank you and just commend you for the work you're doing. Again, for the transparency you shared as you were stepping into this. I think that's real. Maybe we invite you back for another conversation around identity and how men in particular, not saying women don't, but how men in particular sometimes hide those things and act like they don't affect us. But thank you for taking time to be a part of the conversation today. Thank you for work you're doing with veterans, with nonprofits. If you're listening to this, please don't take away from this that serving on a board is bad. It is not.
No.
I hope you've heard in Bruce and Donna and myself, there are things we love about doing it. What we are talking about is intentionality. We are talking about making sure that, to Bruce's words, there's purpose wrapped up in why we're doing it. And so I'm telling you, there's a lot of great opportunities out there to get involved. And because you all, the listeners, know that I'm a quote guy, I don't remember who to attribute this one to, but I bet you've heard it. And you may even know off the, you know, you'll hear me say it and you go, oh, Jay, how did you not know that? But the quote says, you've not lived until you've done something for someone who will never be able to repay you. And to me, I have a servant heart, and I really do love being immersed in my community. I love championing a cause where people are passionate, and I have a passion for the work they're doing, and it fulfills me in ways I can't describe. So I'm happy to sacrifice some of my time to give to that end. And I think if you will look out there in your community, you'll find a cause too. So Donna, thanks
absolutely
for giving me the opportunity just to share that great work being done out there. So please don't listen to this and go, oh my gosh, that's why I don't want to be a part of it. No, there's good.
No, there is good. And that is a note that it needs to end on. We're doing this so we can build good boards, right?
Yeah, true,
that's
true.
What we want.
Yes,
so true. All right, Jay, I'll let you go and we'll wrap
Thank
up.
You, Bruce, it's a pleasure.
Likewise.
All right. So yeah, we probably could go all day. I mean, you and I talked forever on boards and what our frustration were, but I think Jay makes a really good point. We say this because when we get on boards, we want to get on effective boards. Because when we're on effective boards, like incredible things happen. And it's not as tasking as you think it is when everybody is jumping on and they're communicative and they're talking. It is volunteer and it should not take up every waking minute of your day. And if it's interfering with every other part of your life, then that's a board you need to also reconsider whether you need to be on. But at the same time, you got to give some time.
And that's one of those ones where there's volunteer boards and there's paid boards. So yeah, as we're having the discussion and we're talking about some of the negative things about, you know, ill prepared boards, there's incredible boards out there that are doing so much work. That's just like, yes, please. And you see them and you're like, I want to be part of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do, is we have to learn what works, what doesn't work, you know, and when it doesn't work and we start to see things going that way, we have to be able to say, stop, this is the rabbit hole we don't want to go down. And having those advisors, those structure builders, those, you know, influencers who can come back and say, hey, we need to sit the board down and give you training. You know, we need to do X, Y, or Z to make this thing great. So never will I tell someone boards are horrible, run away from them. No, find the ones that fulfill your passion and purpose and get on board. And how can you help drive success? And again, it happens in many ways. There's nothing wrong with being on the board, but understand where you are, what you can give, what you can't give, and, you know, have those, I'm Marine. We'll call them our left and right lateral limits. I can't go too far this way. I can't go too far that way.
Right. Be up front.
And we talk about communication schedules. We talk about roles. We talk about, you know, you have to have three to be a legitimate board for the nonprofit. But it doesn't mean you only have three people. As you said, if three people are doing it, maybe it's 10 hours a week. But if we have five, six, you know, 10 that all have their piece of the pie, we're talking 30, 45 hour. And it's not every week. It's here or there. You know, it's what is the level of commitment? And
3 to 4 hours. I thought you said 35. I'm like, 35 hours. Wait, like 3 to 4 hours.
No, I was talking
hours,
about 30 to 45 minutes.
Oh, minutes,
or an
yes.
hour or two here or there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I would start breaking it back down. And as you talked about, you know, you're in charge of running an event. You know, well, you're not doing events every month. Mm-hmm. You're not doing events all the time. So when you have that event, hey, I've got to be able to ratchet up and serve those hours.
But that
when that event's over, I can ratchet back down.
Yes. And I'll tell you, the whole idea of people coming together on that board, I love that board. They're very kind people. They didn't have the skill set for what needed to be done. And they were trying to the best of their ability. And there was reasons why that it wasn't happening. But at the end of it, it was me dragging a board across the finish line. I was exhausted. And I had to pick up things that I wasn't expected to pick up because I was heading this. So I was like, I had very complex spreadsheets and like everything doled out. Oh yeah, I was looking like a whole, and I every single board meeting we had, I got up there with my computer, plugged it in, showed them where things were, what the expectations were step by step. I remember specifically, we were 3 weeks out from the event when everybody clicked in that we didn't have everything wrapped up. And trust me, it wasn't like I wasn't saying stuff every single time. It's because they didn't have the experience, right? When it all came down to the wire, and we had to execute this, because people didn't step in, we had no volunteers. The entire board had to be present for the whole thing. Pick up and clean up ended up on us. And my poor daughter got roped into it, you know. And again, were these bad people? No, they were not. And what I appreciated the most, the board president says, we're doing a hot wash. Well, I already had my after action all written up. Welcome to the military, right? I was like, shoop, I'm writing this all up. And we were able to talk about the gross failures. And I appreciated that more than anything. I ended up leaving that board, honestly, because I had too many scheduling conflicts coming up. My children had stuff after school. I couldn't give the focus that I wanted to. And so I thought about it and I said, and after that, I really needed a break too. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm going to step back. And the board president's like, I kind of thought you would. I'm like, honestly, a lot of it is because of, it's just like, I wore you out, but it was because of my kid's schedule. And there was other things going on that wasn't aligning up with that. And so I stepped back. I don't hate them. I thought they were great people. They just didn't have what was needed. Now they're doing it again. And hopefully they have the skill set. They saw what was needed. I handed them that spreadsheet. They just got to plug and play. I hope that's all working for them, you know?
And that's a great thing we talk about, you know, skill sets. Mm-hmm. There's certain things. I've done events, small, large scale. Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly good at it. But I understand that I need a ops manager, an event manager, an event planner. To really take the lead, I can do a lot of the big picture. I have no problem being the face and the person doing this and that. And I'm really great at the public facing the, you know, talking to the media, talking to sponsors, talking to potential speakers. I'm great at that part. But don't ask me you know, how to set up the floor. You know, where should we enter? Where should we exit? Where's the trash collection points? Where's this? Where's that?
I don't know.
I'm like, and that's where we get the logisticians involved. This is where mm-hmm. we get the operations people, and everybody has their role
mm-hmm.
and understanding that you're not the end all be all, you know, grand master of all of this to be able to say, oh, I can do it all. Well, when you say you can do it all, you end up failing most of the time.
You don't want to be that person. I ended up, the marketing fell through, right? And I was like, oh, when I realized that how it was set up and the person I set it up with, and it wasn't happening. And probably a month or two out, we had new board members, maybe a little bit longer out than that. They saved me.
And that's something we also have to remember is, as the board, understanding when we need to bring in volunteers, when we need to bring in outside for X, Y, or Z. And it doesn't mean we have to bring them all on the board. We have to bring them all into the organization. But
you bring them in for the event. Everybody
can have, you know, for this, we're bringing in this. Great. Right. We had it. We done. We thanked them. We gave them letters of appreciation. We showed X, Y, or Z to show respect, and we move back on. But when we talk about that board and figuring it out, and just kind of to go back, when you're creating a board, you have to have a reason for the board. There needs to be realistic expectations on paper, so if someone can review that, so you know when you start recruiting for board members.
You know what you're looking for.
We're not
just
recruiting our friends. You know, we're not recruiting names. We're recruiting people that have skills, a certain skill set that are going to be able to enhance and take us to that next level.
That's very important. And when Jay was talking about, I was looking at him to come on a board, I was looking at him for a specific reason, right? Because of his background, I was like, you know, he would be really good to help with X, to do X. And I was straight up with him. But what I was seeing is that the board itself was not coming together like it needed to. And what it was going to turn into was us carrying stuff. And yeah. I was like, and so I backed away. I didn't say anything else. I was like, I'm going to hold on this. And maybe we're having some transition. Let's see what this looks like. And I'm going to hold tight on that.
And again, just to go back out there, everybody's listening. We're not telling you not to join a board. We're just telling you, do your homework, do your research, just like you would do anything else. Find the passion, find the purpose, and be upfront about expectations, what you're looking to get out of it. Because remember, if you're joining a board, you have to have, you know, a purpose into why are you doing this. Are you doing it because the cause is that great? Are you doing it because you can make an impact? Don't just do it because it looks good on a resume or your LinkedIn profile, or, you know, someone's going to be like, oh, look in the community. You know, Bruce is doing this and this. He's a great person. No.
No.
You know, but don't look for the superficial. Look for the material of what it really means for what you're going to be giving your time for. Because remember, you can't get your time back. So if you're going to invest it in something that's meaningful, something that resonates with you, the cause. You know, it could be someone in your family had cancer. So you want to be part of cancer research, cancer fundraising, something that brings awareness. You know, whether you're in the military, veterans, we talk mental health, talk suicide, you know, we want to have something that's going to bring light to that. Mm-hmm. Find that. And make that the reason. And again, we can find these different nonprofits, we can find these different causes, these different events, these different movements that you can be a part of. And one might be an event. I'm going to be part of this group to put this event together. One might be, I'm going to be part of this board for 3 years. But understand you have that. So as we're kind of wrapping this up and we're coming back and saying this, please don't take this as, hey, don't join a board. That's not the purpose. It might sound like it a little bit because we're talking about some of the frustrations and the heartaches that we've had with different boards. But the three of us never said we will never join a board again.
No,
we don't want to be.
It's help. It's we're trying to help them to navigate. One, yes. As you, as the person, you have to, one, first know yourself. You have to know, like you said, God, don't let me lay out a floor plan for an event. I like have no idea where the trash can goes, right? But that's real, right? And in it, I have to laugh that I was like heading event and I had to do top to bottom because of the situation we're in. And yet I was the person in the military when it was somebody's retirement party. I was like, do you want one of those planned ones that they do? Or do you want a Hoffmeyer one? They're like, what's that? I'm like, I find a cool bar and we go have a drink. And, you know, because I don't care for that, right? I did it because I had to and had to figure out the trash can did go. But if we had everybody functioning, I would have released that and said, and I did on some levels because we had certain rooms. And I'm like, oh, that's your room? Have at it. Go set up. Don't look at me. Go make it pretty, right? Know who you are. Know your skill set. And know what you're willing to offer. Because if you're really good at event planning, but you don't have the time to do it, then you need to be upfront with that, right? Like I can do this and I can advise and help, but I cannot lead because of whatever, right? Be upfront with that. So that's one thing. And number two, all this that we're saying is to help you navigate the boards that you potentially want to be on. And for executive directors and board presidents and board members, know what you're looking for too. And so when all of that is happening, we are going to build better quality boards that is going to be much more effective and we'll have more success across the board, you know? And this is a whole other topic. We're not going to get into it, but learning how to collaborate with other nonprofits and the benefits of that. So we could do a whole podcast on that because there are so many nonprofits that are doing very similar things. You know, as a board member, how do you learn where they fit, right? That's a whole other topic. But I'm just saying there's a lot there. There's a lot that can happen, a lot that you can do. And it is fun and exciting to be visionary and to, like you said, get excited like a kid, right? Like Jay was all like smiling when you said that, because that's what we're like, the sky's the limit. What do we want to do? Can we do it? You know? And then when you execute it, you're like, God damn, look what we did. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Right. So
yeah, there's that adrenaline rush.
Yes.
Being able to do it.
That we all need.
When it's done, and as we're kind of like crashing after, you know, we've reached a certain pinnacle, a certain goal, and we're like, wow, we just did that. And that is a very powerful feeling. You know, we start these nonprofits, we start these movements, we start these things with a purpose and a passion of we're going to help. We're going to solve this issue. We're going to address this or address that. Mm-hmm. And it might just be two people having a conversation with an idea and it snowballs into it. And then all of a sudden you look back 3, 6, you know, 9, 12 months later, or maybe a couple of years back, and you're like, man, we've been doing this for 10 years.
Right.
Like, look what we've done.
Look what we did.
And you come back and you got that picture of, hey, it was two knuckleheads having a conversation one day. And it was almost like you know, what would be really cool if we could do. And then you look back and you're like, that's how it begun. And it doesn't have to be this, you know, a magical idea with a light bulb, like shatters above your head because it was so bright and you have it. It could just be, you know, I had a bad experience with that and I don't want other people to have this experience.
Right.
And you say, okay, let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. Let's make something
right.
Better than it was. Let's create something that is needed. So have your ideas. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop having inspirations. And go and build the things that the world needs, because we don't know that they exist. I joke, I didn't know what Zoom was when COVID started. I joined an organization and we hopped on Zoom and figured it out like in a heartbeat. And we're doing, you know, global virtual events. And it's like, yeah. Wow. So, you know, just because you didn't know what it was doesn't mean it's not there. And if it wasn't there, Like, no one was doing those. We hopped on and did them. And it made a huge impact.
Yep.
So find those things and go be your own champion. Go be the person who solves the problem that you create, and or that you, not you create, but that you see.
Yeah.
It is an amazing feeling. I love it. It's why I keep doing it. But you know, you, as again, I keep talking about passion and purpose will take you a long way if you listen to it.
Right.
If you follow. So
and,
I just
know,
want to say,
go ahead. No, finish up.
Yeah. No, I just want to say, like, thanks. I'm glad, you know, that Teddy and Caitlin had that thing that led to us having this weird conversation with two complete strangers saying, sure, I'll, you know, Caitlin said, you should really talk to each other. And, you know, we're veterans. So of course we said, why not? We'll have
right.
a talk. And that talk went like an hour or so until we both had to like run to the next meetings. And then it brought us here today.
Yeah.
And we'll just, you know, harass Jay for, you know, we outlived him. You know, with the scheduling, you know, he can only take so much of us. But conversations make such an impact, make such a difference. So I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to come on and give my two cents to be a part of the conversation, the discussion. I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to kind of, you know, see the comments when you put the episode out, and people are giving their perspectives and their spots and their experiences.
Yeah.
Because it's all about what we can learn. Hey, I'm the guy on here talking with y'all today. I very much am the listeners for the next episode. So it's shared experiences, it's shared lessons learned. And that's how we grow and become better and do things. So just thanks for the invite and let me, you know, give my two cents.
No, absolutely. I mean, like I said, when we actually, after that first meeting, actually called Jay and I'm like, we're going to be doing a really good one, you know, because some of the, I mean, I think all of them are awesome, but some just are like that things that kind of get us. And I'm like, oh, let's talk about this, you know, and how do we get that information out and how do we do it better? You know? So, and I just say to the audience, like, if you have this thought or you have questions, don't be shy, reach out. You want to talk to us? We'll talk. We talk to anybody, you know, and ask, you know, I mean, seriously, Bruce and I met through someone else and just found this commonality of boards and board and having these board of director discussions. And the whole reason we want to do this is because we want to do it better. We want to be better as board members. We want to have better boards and we want to build something better. And so I agree. We don't want people to shy away from it. We want more people to step forward. And that's really what the whole purpose is of this, right?
And I'll just throw it out there. Our conversation had nothing to do with boards. That was not part of the introduction. It was not part of, hey, you guys got to talk about boards. And
no,
nonprofits.
Not at all.
It had nothing. It's like, hey, Bruce is in this space doing cool things. You're in this space doing cool things. You all should talk about cool things together. And it just naturally led that way. So again, conversations matter. Have as many as possible.
Yes.
You never know what doors will open by having them. So again, you know, it's been great. I really appreciate it. And we'll have to harass Caitlin for the introduction and say, look what we did.
I harass Caitlin all the time. Don't worry about that. There's always something. That she's good people. She actually helps me out actually in my business, and so she's helping me out next month. So they are good people. You know, they could speak to boards and nonprofits. Teddy's pretty proficient, and I'm sure he's got his own take on all that stuff. So, you know, I think that's kind of the wrap up: is get talking, learn, be willing to step in a space, but be willing to step in a space knowing your intention of why you're stepping in there. You may not have all the information and it's fine, but know what your intention is. And if you find this is not matching what I thought it was, you either A, learn and grow from it, or B, saying this is too far off of alignment with me. I'm just going to step aside. There shouldn't be any hard feelings. There really shouldn't be. And you shouldn't look at it personally. You really have to look at it as we are trying to build and maintain and sustain the health of a nonprofit. And that is what our focus should always be. So All right, everybody. I think we had a good discussion on this. So Jay ran off. He is doing his coaching. He's got clients all over the world. He's like a big wig. So, and you, by the way, you have a little name for yourself. Cause I reached out to someone and I said, hey, do you know, Bruce Thompson? It was in relation to another nonprofit, that they were familiar with. And, they're like, it's like, but you know, this is exactly what they said. He actually, because I'm not sure why, but he bops in between nonprofits all the time, but he's like a really nice guy. And I went, that's because he's smart. Because he's helping them out, right? And so we just started laughing, but you're known, right? That was somebody that's in a whole other state. And I happened to ask if they knew you, and that person's running a nonprofit, and they did. And their comment was, yeah, he works with a lot of nonprofits and he's always working in between them. And he's like, he's a really nice guy. So there you go.
And I love that because, again, we talk about actions over words. And so when you are doing the right things for the right reasons and people notice, whether they ever tell you personally, it doesn't matter. But when you hear it from someone else that said, oh, yeah, I brought up your name, and people like, they lit up and smiled and said, I love that guy, or, you know, I love them, or they do, like, they're wow. Man, the heart warms up, you get the smile on your face.
You're doing it right. You're doing it right.
And it's just reassurance that what you do is matters and is making an impact. Mm-hmm. And it fuels the fire to keep doing it, to do it a little bit further, a little bit more. And that's the whole purpose of nonprofits and boards. It's to improve things from where they are today to where they can be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And you guys got me all teared up. You know, someone said positive things about me, and aww, I'm like, oh, come on now.
The Marines teary eye. There it is.
Marines have feelings too. We just don't remember where you put
when
them.
When you take away their crayons.
Leave my crayons alone now.
Lord. All right. We're going to keep going down rabbit holes. We're horrible because we'll talk all day, but we're going to wrap this up. Bruce, I thank you so much for coming on. This was an awesome, awesome discussion. I think it was an important discussion, and I greatly appreciate it. I know Jay did too. He lights up when he's really engaged. And so everybody, you know how it goes, right? From all of us here at our parent company or parent podcast, coming home well. And us here at Beyond the Front Line, we thank you. We want you to like and share and engage and give us your thoughts about this. We want to know what you think about boards and maybe your experience or your insight. We love to talk and we love to engage. So from all of us here to all of you, we hope you have an awesome week.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Front Line, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review.